Welcome to a special edition of For the Love of Podcast. I am so excited about this one because I have the opportunity to interview an advisor and very close friend of mine, Brendan Kumarasamy. Brendan and I met last year thanks to our friend Sam Kamani, and honestly, my life is different because I know Brendan. Allow me to explain. Well, first, let me tell you who he is. Brendan is the host and creator of Master Talk, which is both a YouTube channel and a movement where he helps people master the art of communication and public speaking. I think when you listen to him, you'll know why I like him so much. He is flat out brilliant. And honestly, one of the smartest people that I know. Late last year, Brendan introduced me to this platform called Clubhouse, which, for those that are familiar, you probably are laughing or smiling right now because you know just how addictive this platform is. And I just gotta say, ever since joining the platform, my life has changed for too many reasons that I can mention right now. And so this episode is my first attempt at a podcast and Clubhouse recorded simultaneously. Part one is just my conversation with Brendan, and part two is a Q&A that I recorded immediately following this interview. So what do we talk about? Brendan shares what happened when he joined this platform. What were those first few days like? He then shares why he's been taking it so seriously since then, and why he thinks we should all have a sense of urgency when it comes to Clubhouse. We also discuss what it takes to be a rock star moderator, and he gives us advice on how to gain your first 1,000 followers. All right, strap in and get ready, because I'm pretty sure this platform is going to change the world, and let's figure out how you can leverage the power of Clubhouse. Brendan Kumarasamy, welcome to For the Love of Podcast.
It's great to be here, Billy. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, I'm so excited. We are going to dive in and talk about all things Clubhouse, which you and I have been eating, sleeping, breathing on this platform, so much so that I think it's affecting family life, at least for me, and so many other things. But I think it's worth it, man. I think it's worth it. So let's start with this. How did you first hear about Clubhouse?
Yeah, it's a great question. So in December, Billy, a couple of my friends, because you know I advise a lot of startups, were telling me about Clubhouse. And honestly, I didn't really want to join the platform. I didn't have any intention of doing that because, as you know, I spent most of the year guesting on podcasts because that was going to be my main way of getting traffic to my YouTube channel. But then, after the third person messaged me in mid-December about Clubhouse and getting an invitation, I wonder what this app is all about. So I joined a couple of weeks later. I got an invite from one of the startups I was advising. And then when I got onto the platform, I realized that in a few hours that this app was game-changing. So I went all in. I called you, and the rest is history.
So you knew very early on that it was a game-changer. What was it about the app that you thought was game-changing?
I think a good way of explaining this, Billy, is intimate conversations at scale. So I'll give you an example. You and me are the type of people that when somebody calls us, when somebody wants our help, we're more than happy to give our time, right? A friend calls us for 30 minutes, we call them, we answer their questions, and we help that one individual. But in social media, that conversation, A, doesn't get recorded, B, doesn't get seen, and C, you don't get rewarded for it, minus that one person who benefits. But what's interesting about Clubhouse and this very conversation that is on Clubhouse is we're having that one-on-one discussion, but now a bunch of other people are listening to that conversation. So it's generosity at scale, and that's what really excited me about the platform. And the other thing is when I started working with Chris Delaney that I knew for a year before Clubhouse started, we had a room of maybe 5-6 people when we started on Clubhouse, and we had 0 followers. But the impact that we made in that individual's life with their business, whether it was communication, whether it was strategy, was so monumental that we realized at scale, Clubhouse would be an insane opportunity for the people who are generous enough to share information.
I love the initial impression you had. What's changed since then? Do you still feel that way, or what have you learned since then?
I think definitely a lot of lessons, but I would say the biggest one is the opportunity on Clubhouse is a lot bigger than I initially thought because of how early we are on the platform. So as of this recording, the numbers aren't official, but let's ballpark 2 million. Because when we started a month ago in late December of 2020, there was around 600,000 users based on a Wall Street Journal article. And now that number is around 2 million. But if you think about that number, it's really tiny. Because that implies, just to give people an idea here, if you have 20,000 followers on Clubhouse today, that means 1 in 100 are following you. That's crazy if you think about it. Like right now, I have around 2,700 followers and you're around the same. That implies, assuming the 2 million is correct, that 1 in every 1,000 people right now is following us, which is also mind-boggling. Since we haven't spent any money on Clubhouse, everything was organic and just us having conversations. So yeah, definitely this opportunity is pretty crazy. And that's why me, you, and Chris and the rest of our moderation team has been spending a lot of time, not just taking advantage of the opportunity, but thinking about how we can shape the culture of how this app can go moving forward.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I wonder at what point did you decide you were going to be as active as you are? Was it immediate, or did you like think about it over the first few days you were on the platform? And then what was that decision? Like, how much time are you investing for those that don't already know? I know, of course, but for those who don't know.
I'll be honest, I knew very quickly that this is something I wanted to go all in on. It probably took 4 or 5 hours of consuming the app. And the reason is very simple. I was already doing that outside of Clubhouse, but I wasn't being rewarded for it in the same way that I am in this app. So I'll give you an example. So you know I did 400 podcast interviews last year, but something worth mentioning is 95% of those shows, maybe 10 people are listening to that. So every day, because of you know how much I want Master Talk to be visible to everyone else, I guest on any show. Even if it was a 3-episode show, I would come on because I just want to add value, have conversations. I would bullet through 20 to 25 interviews on a day sometimes. It was nuts. But what's fascinating about Clubhouse now is I know exactly how many people are listening to me. And I know all of those people are listening because of how the attention plays into Clubhouse. There's no text. You have to listen to the conversation. And most of the people are. So in that type of opportunity, especially at scale, since we're so early, it was podcasting on small shows on steroids. That's a good way of thinking about it. So for me, who had real expertise, but that nobody knew, because I was, you know, I was pretty early. I wasn't early on YouTube because I was very young when YouTube started, right? So because I didn't have that first mover's advantage on YouTube, despite my expertise, nobody knew who I was. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a Gary Vee who had millions of followers. And by the way, I'm a huge fan of his, but it's just about understanding the landscape. Whereas here, what's great about Clubhouse is if you have real expertise, the whole playing field is leveled. So if you know what you're talking about and you're willing to put in the hours that most big names aren't willing to because of opportunity cost, it's too much of their time. It became the ultimate playground. And 30 days later, the results showed.
Okay, so let me ask you this. For somebody who is maybe new to the app, maybe doesn't fully understand what it can offer in terms of power to not only build an awareness for their brand or for their company or for anything that they want to raise awareness for, or for somebody that wants to network and meet people. I mean, there's so many benefits because of, as you said, it's like leveling the playing field and the access that you can get. Why should somebody be really thinking about being active right now and having a sense of urgency around their time allotment on the platform?
Here's a good way of thinking about this for people who are not used to Clubhouse, who haven't tried it. We know that speaking engagements are effective, whether it's for leads in your business, whether it's for growing your social media platform, or more importantly, your influence. And that's why we've seen people like Gary Vaynerchuk, Grant Cardone, all of the big names, Esther Perel, and I can go on, leverage speaking engagements, even if they have to fly out to a different country, because of the leverage it gives, the trust, the time it takes for you to go up to somebody and go, I trust this person. When they're right in front of you as a thought leader and they're put up on stage by somebody else, you trust them almost immediately versus an Instagram post where you really have to follow that person for a while. You have to look at their carousel, their posts and their feeds before you end up trusting them. That's also true with podcasting. Podcasting, all it takes is one episode. If somebody consumes 45 minutes of you speaking, they'll know immediately if you're someone that they want to follow or not. And it's very easy for them to be fans of yours. Clubhouse works in the same way, but for the common person. The same way that Gary and all the other influencers have access to these big stages, all of the gatekeepers are gone now. So now if you want to host a 200-person room, if you have real expertise, of course, the market is the market. But if you know what you're talking about and you really put in the hours, you can have access to those stages at scale. So think about it like this. Gary Vee maybe speaks to 5, 10,000 people, but the time it takes to get to that stage is long. It took a couple of years for him to build this brand. That's one. And two, he has to fly out to the event, stay in a hotel, meet everyone. And three, plan out. You know, he's a whole team that plans out his event, buys his tickets. All of that friction is gone. So now, if you have 1,000 followers on Clubhouse, a good percentage of people already know who you are. So if you jump into a couple of rooms, and we've hosted rooms of upwards of 500 people when we had big names on the platform we were interviewing them. If you think about that, that's insane. We didn't pay that person to be there. We didn't fly out anybody. We didn't organize a team. We just opened a room, talked, and now all of a sudden there's 500 people listening to us. Isn't that insane? That's where the opportunity is, especially if you're a small account, especially if you're not a big name yet. I think Clubhouse is the opportunity, and that's why I went from 20 interviews a week. I think I'm doing 5 or 6 now. So only people who pitch me now, I do interviews. I'm saying no to all of them now because I want to reinvest all that time into Clubhouse. So to summarize the thought here, it's public speaking engagements at scale with no friction and no gatekeepers.
So what should somebody be doing who's brand new to the platform to launch quickly? Because we've seen some people jump on and like take advantage right away. What are they doing right that others can learn from?
Absolutely. And I'm happy to share the 3-part framework here on how to think about molding your expertise on the platform. So I'd say part one is we need to think of Clubhouse like a society. Right, so in the same way, like me and you would have a coffee, we'd talk about different topics. All of those conversations, those micro conversations in society are now being recreated into Clubhouse. Whether it's dating, relationships, stock investments, how to live a better life, all of these topics are now being recreated in rooms on Clubhouse. So the first step is to ask yourself, what do you want your role to be in this society? In Clubhouse, what do you want your role to be? So that's part one. So now the question is, how do you figure out that role? Which brings us to part two. What are the questions that people ask you the most about in the real world? What are the questions that people come up to you and say, hey, Billy, I need your advice on this? Why are they asking you those questions instead of everyone else in their network? They have hundreds of people in their network, but they come to you with that question. That means you have real expertise, and real expertise matters on Clubhouse. Because if you know what you're talking about, people are going to find out really quickly who you are, what you're about, and how to get involved with you. And that's why I've sold a couple of client packages since I've started in only 30 days. Results I've never gotten before on any other social media platform. So it's kind of mind-boggling to me. So the exercise I would recommend people to think through in this part is make a list of all the questions people ask you, for most frequent questions you get. And then from that list, you can think through topics. So then the next part of that framework is saying, who is already talking about those topics on Clubhouse and how are they doing? So what I did, and so let's go part one. What I did was my expertise is public speaking communication. That's what people come to me for. That's what I do. That's my secret sauce. That's my competitive edge. So I started jumping into storytelling rooms, public speaking rooms, and I was evaluating how the moderators were driving conversation. I would say, what are they talking about? Who are they? What's their credentials? And I would just analyze them in the same way how you jumped into podcasting rooms. And Chris Delaney, who's one of our partners in this, jumps into business strategy rooms. But for you who's listening, it doesn't need to be any of those topics. It could be cooking. It could be how to take care of your kids better, parenting tips. It really depends on your expertise. Then you want to stay taking notes on what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong. And in my specific case, I noticed that a lot of the moderators in my niche were doing a lot of things wrong. And the biggest one was they weren't interacting enough with their audience. Public speaking is about practice. the best way to run a room, in my opinion, on Clubhouse, for my expertise, is bring people up on stage and get them talking.
Mm-hmm.
Get them talking, get them interacting. And you saw a similar opportunity where you noticed that a lot of the moderators, on the platform were talking too much, but they weren't bringing up the speaker. So we found the white space. So now when you find that white space, which means the stuff that you think you can do better that everyone else isn't doing, that brings us to part three. And part three is what I call collaborate and create. Collaborate with people that you adore in real life or that you've met on Clubhouse. What my strategy was, partner with you and Chris, because I knew you, we had the same values, we had the same beliefs, and create rooms that fit the gap, that mm-hmm. close the gap on those opportunities. And I think that's where the success has been on the platform for all of us.
Brendan, let me ask you this. Obviously, I've gotten a chance to see you moderate a lot, having had many, many rooms with you. You already mentioned some of the things that moderators are doing maybe not as well. What are the best moderators doing?
Absolutely. So I would say a couple of things, Billy. I would say the first one, which is the most important principle as of this recording, is that the best moderators on the platform understand that they're not great moderators. What does that mean? We're all pretty new to this. Even for someone like me who's moderated rooms before, has facilitated conversation, who has probably explored every niche of communication, I struggled a lot as a moderator as well. So the first thing that we need to understand is that the best mods learn from other mods. They're taking notes when they're speaking. They're understanding what are some of the nuances that they're applying that we'll talk about as well, that they're doing better than everyone else. And one of those examples is specific acknowledgments. I would say 99% of moderators on Clubhouse, what they don't do is they don't read people's bios. So how the app works for those who are new to Clubhouse is whenever you click on somebody's profile in the room that you're in or hosting, if they wrote a bio, you know exactly their life story depending on how much details they gave. And what the best moderators on the platform do, I've only seen a handful of people do this, is regardless of who is speaking, whether they're a celebrity or somebody who's new to the platform, great moderators take the time to read the bios and then ask them either specific questions from that bio or acknowledge them in a specific way. So here's an example here. If I acknowledge here, and it's an exercise anyone can do, by the way, outside of Clubhouse too, it just helps you in general to get more specific and stand out as a mod on Clubhouse. So general acknowledgement is something like this. Hey, Billy, you're really great. You know, I really like working with you. I love the smile. I love your positivity. Thanks for being here. So that's not bad, right? It's like a top 10%. You know, you're acknowledging people, you're being kind. But what does a top 1% moderator do? Top 1% moderator says something like this. Billy, I want to acknowledge you, not just for your generosity, not just for who you are as a person, but for your humility. Despite all of the experiences you've had as a senior executive at Tesla, working almost directly under Elon Musk, you have the humility to always be a learner, to have that beginner's mindset, to seek new ideas, even if you're getting advice from someone who's half your age. You're not afraid to ask the right questions so that you can seek the truth that you desire. And it's no wonder you've had so much success with Podify, the podcast you've running, the amazing people you've had the chance to interview, whether it was on Clubhouse or outside of it. And I'm just very grateful that you're in my life. So notice how in a specific acknowledgement, you get acknowledged in a way that nobody has been acknowledged before.
Mm.
What's interesting about Clubhouse is you get rewarded for seeing people as human beings, right? So many of the cases, and this is more just an education guess here, we're kind of riffing a bit, in the sense that when I acknowledge people on Clubhouse, and you've done it incredibly well as well, sometimes I would bet just statistically that human being who's on the other side, who's a real person, and we don't see that on social media as much, we don't think of it in that way, gets acknowledged in a way that maybe their family has never acknowledged them on. So it's so much easier, to Kevin Kelly's point about 1,000 true fans, we could talk about that. It's so much easier for you to build those 1,000 true fans at scale on Clubhouse, because if you keep acknowledging people, and that's what the best mods do on the platform, eventually, after 30 days, thousands of people will know who you are. And that's a beautiful thing.
Brendan, how can someone get to 1,000 followers as quickly as possible? I know you have a framework for that. Before we do that, I'm going to put you on the spot. and you did me, you know me. I know you don't know somebody in the audience here, and maybe you could pick Glenn or you could pick somebody else. But if you were going to bring somebody up to stage, and I know, you know, we're not doing that this minute, but how would you edify or create a more meaningful introduction for them, much like you did for me? What would be your approach?
Right. So the general approach that I would take is I would focus on the parts of that person's bio that I think 95% of people won't comment on. So for example, whenever there's a celebrity on or somebody high level, I know in my head, even if I don't know who that person is sometimes, that that individual is always being acknowledged by their accomplishments, movies they've been in, books they've written, speaking engagements that they've given, etc., or their social media followings. That's what every interview does. But the 1%, what do they do differently? They acknowledge them for things that they want to be acknowledged for that nobody does. So for example, I could say something along the lines of, hey, Glenn or Billy or Josh or...
Do one. Pick one right now.
Yeah, sure.
If I give pick one on, give your phone, pick your phone, pick somebody right now and walk us through why you're doing what you're doing. So tell us who you're going to do. And then everybody could look at the bio and then walk us through what you're looking at and kind of just explain what you're looking at for those who are listening in right now, they could see. So pick somebody from the audience and then talk us through what you would say about that person. I really like that framework to where you're not talking about the same thing that everybody else is talking about.
Absolutely. So let's take Glenn as an example. So what a good moderator would do, we would say something like, hey, Glenn, I just want to acknowledge you for creating Breakfast of Champions. And it's a great room that you start and it's a great opportunity that you leverage. So that's probably something he would get acknowledged for on the platform. It's what he's known for, right? But what the top 1% of moderators would do is they'll scroll down, they'll look at the rest of the text, and they'll say something like this. Glenn, I want to acknowledge you not just for showing up every day, but for rising and grinding. Notice I used the specific name of a show. For showing up every morning, even if it's at 2:30 a.m., to make people feel amazing. To wake up every day and say, wow, if Glenn's going to wake up at 2:30 a.m., what am I doing with my life? I need to start taking action. I need to go for all my dreams. And I think what's incredible about Glenn that I want to acknowledge him for is not just the 1,000 morning shows that he has, but his willingness to show up for other people, even if he doesn't need to. So notice I'm acknowledging him on things that no one else is talking about. And the other thing I'll say is that I also love the fact that he's a father to 8. He's a 22-year automobile leader. So I would ask him specific questions around that. What is it about the car industry? What was your first car? Like, I'd love to hear more about that. Well, what was it like? Did you customize the rims? And I would also ask him about what is the number one lesson he's learned as a father? Because I'm sure he's a great one. So notice how, but the key here, the framework for people is focus on the skills, the attributes, the qualities that you think that person doesn't get acknowledged for. Because 99% of moderators, I'm pretty sure, Billy, they stop the bio at the top. And most people, when they write their bios, and this is normal, we always lead with our accomplishments to gain interest, but very few of them read until the bottom. And the gems, the golden nuggets of who that person is actually at the bottom of the bio, usually never at the top.
Yeah, no, it's such a great point. And I think you stopping at the top is very limiting. And I think, as you just said, one of the things that stood out is the question about being a parent, because I think that's where you can emotionally connect with him. And I think when you emotionally connect with somebody, that's when their truth comes out. That's when their human side comes out. And that's what this app is all about. That's why I think it's so powerful, is that you get to hear people's stories in such a genuine, heartfelt way, unlike anything else I've ever seen. I mean, you could write a post and be vulnerable, but it's a whole nother thing for you to actually share it real time from your own voice. So I want to go back to that question I just asked, which is, how do you get 1,000 followers quickly on this platform?
Absolutely. So my approach is very simple, Billy. There's no shortcut. It's understanding the following. You will get 1,000 followers if you're willing to answer 1,000 questions. And that's why for someone like yourself, Chris, or me, or many of the moderators I've met in our 30-day journey on the platform, it's no wonder they have such big followings. Because here, generosity gets rewarded. Real expertise get rewarded. Being a human being, trying to help other humans, never the best time to be that until now. Right. Because before, and this is what's fascinating to me, it's kind of like a great, because I'm a very competitive guy, so it's fun in that way. You know, if you had Instagram before, or Facebook, or even YouTube, there's a way for you to share expertise. I'm not going to deny that. But there's also a way to curate your feed. So if you don't really know what you're talking about, if you don't really have real expertise, you don't really like helping people, you could always, and I'm, by the way, I'm no exception here besides the generosity. I like helping people, but I meant more in the sense of if I make a mistake in my videos, I could just redo it. And mm-hmm. I've done that many times until it's perfect. But I don't have that luxury on Clubhouse. Somebody asks me a question and I don't know the answer, or I say something that's wrong and I do this a lot, it's very clear really fast that this person is not an expert. Very fast. And a lot of the big names have gotten caught. I'm not going to name anyone, but they got caught, right? But the opposite is also true. A lot of smaller names that nobody knew are like, whoa, like, I got to follow this person. So I think the people who have stood out and who have gotten 1,000 very quickly are the people, besides the people who collaborate with the bigger names, which I don't think will help 99% of people who are listening, is get a room with two people that you just love talking to. So for me, it was yourself and Chris. And just wait for people to come in the room, even if it's 3-4 people, or invite people in and just help them one at a time. Even if you're spending an hour on each person, because I was already doing that with podcasting. I was pretty much talking to one person when I was doing interviews because the shows I was on were so small that I didn't care. I was like, yeah. And then that hour turned into 45 minutes. I had 0 followers a month ago like you did. Then that 40 minutes turned to 30 minutes. Then 20, then 10, then 5 minutes. And now we're answering questions every minute because there's so many people on stage. And that's how we grew. So if you want to be successful on Clubhouse and you have real expertise, you care about helping people, you're generous, and you just love helping people, whether they can afford you or not, you are going to be dangerous on Clubhouse in the same way you are.
One of the things that's absolutely blown me away about this platform is the access piece, which we've already touched on. I find it remarkable that in a moment's notice could be having a conversation with somebody that I've seen on television that has extraordinarily successful business. In a minute, like all of a sudden, Damon John's on stage. Next minute, you have somebody that I've been watching on TV since I was a kid. And it's just like, it's unbelievable, this access. How should people be taking advantage of this unprecedented ability to network with people that you might not otherwise be able to network with? How should we be doing that?
Right. So this is more personal opinion. So this is not necessarily correct, but I'll give you my thoughts. I don't think this access is going to last for a long time, because as the platform scales, because right now it's at 2 million. So it makes sense that a lot of the people are very high quality. So in case people don't know, you need an invite to join Clubhouse and you need to have an iPhone. So that takes out a lot of the human population, right, to filter through. But when the platform has 200 million users or 20 million users, it's going to be harder for you to access those people. So in my opinion, if you're going, and somebody else said this in one of our rooms, if you're going to spend 70% of your time on Clubhouse, you want to spend those hours today. Like as soon as you hear this episode, this message, whether you're in the Clubhouse room right now, or whether you're someone who's going to listen to this podcast when it comes out in a few weeks or months, you want to go all in right away before the app opens to everyone. Because once that happens, that same level of access won't be real. But yes, because we were early, to your point, we've been very fortunate about the incredible people that we've met. I'm not going to name drop anyone, but I meant more in the sense of just wow, like incredible people. I've gotten on Zoom calls with people that I would have to spend thousands of dollars to go to their masterminds or invest in their programs, and I can just access them for free, because I have real expertise and I shared a lot of that. Another thing I'll add, since that was the last question, is understanding the opportunity here. Especially for someone out there, and this is very, I like to target the advice, or people out there who are the best kept secrets, that have real expertise, that love what they do, that love serving people that in a real way, Clubhouse is your playground. It is your opportunity. I've been grinding on YouTube for 2 years now, Billy. And I probably have upwards of maybe 6,000-7,000 subscribers, which is not bad. I'm doing well for myself. But people need to realize that in only 30 days of being on Clubhouse, I already have 2,700 followers with no big name helping me. It's really just me, you, Chris, help serving people. And we've had some lucky breaks. But for the most part, it was just us serving people. So if I could do that, imagine what all of you who are listening, who have better networks than I do, who are more established than I am, imagine what you can achieve on Clubhouse. The only reason you aren't successful on Clubhouse is if you don't put in the hours. But if you have real expertise, you put in the hours, you will succeed in the same way that I can pretty much guarantee in 60 days, I'll have more followers and influence on Clubhouse than I ever did on YouTube.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of For the Love of Podcast about Clubhouse. Stay tuned for part two, which will be a Q&A that I did immediately following this interview that you just heard. If you like this episode and if you like this show in general, as always, it would mean the world to me if you would rate, subscribe, and review on your favorite podcast platform. So what's in store for next week? Next week, we have Brian Barletta. And Brian Barletta has a wealth of experience when it comes to all things ad technology and how to leverage the power of advertising as a podcaster. We dive deep into the nuances to understand exactly what ad technology exists today and how we could best prepare ourselves to take advantage of it. And until next time, please remember, everything we do it for the love of podcast.